The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. And thank you all so much for joining us today. I'm just updating my list on when in doubt, who to blame certain things on. Obviously, number one is you blame Donald Trump in any circumstance. You're in trouble. You get pulled over. You blame Donald Trump. You blame Orange Man Bad. Number two, global warming. If you feel like mixing it up, if you're getting tired of blaming Trump, blame it on the weather, blame it on climate change. And number three, fresh one for the list, white construction workers. I think that's a fun little addition to the blame game. Don't blame Joe Biden. Don't blame incompetence. Blame the guys in the hard hats, actually, or the women trying to get things done. Now, we are going to move on from this for a little bit here because there's so much out there I want to cover before we bring on Toby. And I think, because of the first hour where I thought I was going to talk about James Clapper, but I couldn't resist Mayor Pete, I think we are going to go back to this really quickly here because I want to play you a flashback. So for people who missed this, and I should probably read to you the actual quotes here from James Clapper in the Washington Post. It's pretty funny how all of these intelligence agents, which is an oxymoron, because I wouldn't trust any of these people to do anything. You know, I wouldn't trust them to lock up my house if I were on vacation. So the intelligence title is a little misleading, but he's a former former DNI. And he admitted, or he didn't admit to anything, but now he's saying that Politico took that letter. Remember the letter that debunked Hunter Biden's laptop? It said that it was Russian. It had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Well, now all of these ex-spooks are coming out and they're saying, well, technically we didn't say it. It was disinformation. We said it had the earmarks of Russian disinformation. It's like you're debating someone in junior high. You're like, this is seriously what you're going with? You're the top intelligence agents in this country, and this is your excuse for sending in this ridiculous open letter? But it's all they have. So they offered Joe this cloak of protection to say, you can dismiss all these stories about your son being a, crack tub, crack pipe smoking in the tub, underpants, scarf wearing, corrupt, shady business dealing dude.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
You can dismiss it all. Just say it was Russian disinformation. They gave him this. This was his golden ticket. Joe Biden was like the grandpa in Willy Wonka. He sprung out of bed with a pep in his step that no one had ever seen. He got on that debate stage with Trump and he was like, hey, I was debunked. And the media ran with it. It was debunked. It became like this vast right-wing conspiracy theory. Well, now Clapper is saying that it was taken out of context. They're all still defending this letter. So this is from the Washington Post. And they tell you exactly what the letter says. So this is what these 51 intelligence agents wrote. It is for all these reasons that we write to say that the arrival on the U.S. political scene of emails purportedly belonging to Vice President Biden's son Hunter, much of it related to his time serving on the board of the Ukrainian gas company Burisma, has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. And do you know what part of this they're clinging to? We said Russian information operation. We didn't say Russian disinformation operation. It is the most ridiculous form of gaslighting to try to tell people, oh, we didn't say that it was fake, We just said it could be fake. And we all got together and published an open letter about it to let people know that it could be fake. Are you saying that that made people think it might be fake? Well, that's not our problem if people read into it the wrong way. Now, this is Clapper, okay? He says, to me, and he's a boob, okay? He's the same guy. He lied to Congress in 2013. He has a history of being a liar. He said, to me, it's a difference without a distinction. It could have been bad information, false information, but we had no evidence, no inside baseball that it was. The intent of the letter was that this could be Russian disinformation. Emphasis on could. It's a very important nuance, a distinction that people are always ignoring. So you felt the need to get together and publish this open letter because you didn't have any inside knowledge on this. You didn't have any inside baseball, but you just wanted to let people know that there was a possibility that it could be disinformation. Right. Sure. Okay. Well, it's semantics, like I said. It's very obvious they're trying to play word games to now pretend that they weren't involved in conning the American people before an election. But no one's buying it. And Politico's standing with their reporting as they should. They didn't say anything out of bounds. They summarized this letter accurately, which is what's driving people like James Clapper crazy, because he's probably afraid that he's going to get in some sort of trouble. Let me assure you, James, Jimmy, you won't get in any sort of trouble, okay? You're going to be just fine. But I want to play you this flashback of Clapper because he's trying to pretend now that he was very cautious. You know, he was very nuanced about highlighting the distinctions in what he meant about the Russian information operation. Take a listen if you hear any nuance in this. This is a flashback of James Clapper. This is Cut 9.
Director, a bunch of questions from this. Let me just start with this. How much does the source matter, right? So you hear the story of this laptop. We don't know a lot. We do know that the way that this information is getting out is through Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani. How much does the source matter here?
Well, source matters a lot, and the timing matters a lot, I think. And to me, this is just classic textbook Soviet-Russian tradecraft at work. The Russians have analyzed the target. They understand that the president and his enablers crave dirt on Vice President Biden. Whether it's real or contrived, it doesn't matter to them. And so all of a sudden, two and a half weeks before the election, this laptop appears somehow emails on it without any metadata.
Pause it right there. This laptop appears somehow. I'll break it down for you, Jim. This laptop appeared not somehow. It appeared because Joe Biden's son is such a mess that he left it with a laptop repairman for months and never went back to go get it. And the laptop repairman was smart enough to not just give it to people like you in the intelligence community, because he knows that people like you are liars who are doing the bidding of Democrats, but he also gave a copy of it to, I think it was Rudy Giuliani's lawyer. That's how it came to be. If you need me to connect the dots for you on how this came to light. But does that sound like a guy who's trying to really give you both sides of the story, saying, oh, it could be Russian disinformation, saying it's textbook Russian tradecraft? I don't think so. I would love for one of these shows that he appears on. He appears on these shows frequently because he's such an expert. You know, he's giving us so much wisdom from his days as a DNI. I would love for one of these places to just play that back for him and say, you have any comment on that? You have any regrets about that statement? But they won't, because everybody's gutless. You know, nobody actually wants an answer. Now, just quickly here, because there's, again, like I said, a lot of headlines to get to. We were talking in the first segment about Pete Buttigieg and how he'll probably end up running for president at some point. Who knows? He might even be president. And then all the trains will not run on time. But I talked about this failing up and how people who do a bad job in the public sector tend to get raises. They get promotions. And I want to tell you a little story here about someone who's actually in charge of the public schools in Baltimore. So there's a report from the Daily Mail. It says, report finds in 23 public schools in Baltimore, none of the children understand basic math. Now, that is from Project Baltimore. They analyze the test scores. None of the kids understand basic math, which is a very sad state of affairs to begin with. But here's the part that really caught my eye. So a parent who was angry about this, whose child goes to one of these schools, said she was angry that the CEO of the Baltimore Public Schools, Sonia Santillis, was earning a base salary of, you ready for this? $333,125, which rose to $444,875 with allowances. Yet students are failing in epic proportions. This woman's making over $400,000 a year. And I'm sure with this kind of track record, with 23 public schools in Baltimore where none of the children understand basic math, you know what the logical next step is for someone like Sonia Santillis? You know what the logical next step is? She'll start working at the Biden White House. She'll get a promotion. She'll be in charge of energy, nuclear energy, or she'll be the Secretary of Education. Can't you see it now? This is what happens. We reward incompetence right now in the United States of America. This is actually very, very disturbing. 23 public schools in Baltimore, and none of the children understand basic math. But like I said, don't blame it on Sonia. Sonia is going to get a nice plum job very soon, I'm sure, working beside other heroes like Pete Buttigieg, other people who know what they're doing. 844-500-4242. She'll be plucked up, picked for a job, for some plum job, before you know it. One other thing I wanted to discuss here, we'll take this into the next segment, the Chinese spy balloon. We've heard so many different stories. There's so many different objects now. When I left, Matt, when I left on Thursday, we were still dealing with just the balloon. Now we've got like three other objects. They're up to four. You've got the defense secretary saying they kind of shot these down before they really knew what they were dealing with. What's so obvious is they acted too slow on the first balloon, and then they were like trigger happy with all the other ones. Then they just start shooting down all sorts of things, and they can't even tell us if it's not aliens. I mean, the communication has been subpar, to say the least. I kind of am under the impression that the alien part of this conversation was just a way to distract people. You know, we can't say it's not aliens. They realize they're just throwing some people a bone. That's going to keep people occupied for a while. But when we come back, we're not going to focus on that. We are going to focus on John Kirby trying to take a victory lap over the fact that they're detecting these balloons, unlike the Trump administration. I have some thoughts on that, and we'll take your calls. But first, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. If you have been listening to our commercials about Perfect Smiles, you've heard me talk about it, and you keep saying, I want to do it, but I'm not sure, you know, the dentist makes me nervous, or maybe it's going to be too expensive, or maybe I'll put it off. I can wait a couple weeks or a month or a year. Don't put it off any longer, because this is the year to take care of yourself. This is going to make a huge difference in your life, and there's no better place to go. You don't have to do all of this research hemming and hawing about who to go to. I'm telling you right now, Dr. Houghton and his team, his incredible team at Perfect Smiles, they're the ones you want to go to for this huge decision. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles before, but you've never called, take the first step, contact Perfect Smiles, check out their videos at perfectsmiles.com, and you can go visit them. They're located right off Route 3. They've got plenty of parking in Nashua, New Hampshire. So that's perfectsmiles.com, perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. I see you on the lines, whether you want to talk about the Chinese spy balloon or any of these topics we've discussed. We'll take your calls when we come back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf? You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes. I knew you'd go. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Darling, you sent me. I know you.
These are some special Valentine's Day bumpers for all of you out there who celebrate. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you for tuning into the Grace Curley Show. And a story that is all over the news, it's all over Fox today, is what is happening in Ohio. A train derailed. It was carrying the chemical vinyl chloride. And as the chemical leaked, reading here from the Post Millennial, authorities decided the best way to prevent an explosion would be to evacuate the nearby area and burn off the chemical. But now residents have reported a chemical smell in the air, as well as dead fish and animals like chicken. I've also seen that people are getting sick. That's a report that's been out there floating around. I don't know how much research has gone into what is causing people to feel sick, but I'm sure that I shouldn't say I'm sure. I got to be careful here. I wouldn't be shocked if there was a correlation between the chemicals being released and people suddenly starting to feel ill. Yeah, that's just my, that's a non-medical expert opinion for you, okay? Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What has been Pete Buttigieg's biggest disaster? The supply chain shortages, the air travel issues, or the train derailments?
I'm going to say the air travel issues.
Air travel issues is in second place with 21%. Supply chain shortages is up to 59% in the lead.
All righty. Let's go to Jerry. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Grace, how you doing? Love you and Howie. You're the best part of our day out here.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. What's going on?
Good. Well, I'm 65. I've been in construction since I was 18. And I've seen the changes come through construction sites like you wouldn't believe. But it's to the point now where we are well-diverse on the job sites, to the point where we communicate through the voice translation apps on our phones. I mean, so we are diverse on the job sites. PD, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a fool.
People are just tuning in, what Jerry's referring to is Pete Buttigieg was at a conference yesterday talking about how a lot of times projects are approved in certain communities, and then the guys or the women, the people that show up and put on hard hats and work there, do not represent or look like the community that they're, you know, completing the project in. And it's hard not to just draw the conclusion that he's trying to say there's too many white people in construction. Go ahead, Jerry, finish your point.
Right, but, you know, so we communicate through the voice apps. I mean, we're all diverse. They're all from all over the place. We're multiple voice apps. But anyway, if PD wants to help us, what he needs to do is move the supply chains along, because we can only build as fast as we can get the equipment. And if it's sitting in a boat out in the ocean, we can't install it.
You know, Jerry, you sound like someone who Pete Buttigieg might say is having a hard time distilling and understanding all of the great accomplishments of this administration. Because as Pete recently told some talking head, Biden has done so much, so many great things, and it's hard for people to digest it. There's just too much of it. And you know who said something very similar, Matt? And you pulled this sound for me, was Chuck Schumer. Can I get Chuck Schumer on The View, of all places? Ugh, what a deadly combination. Chuck Schumer on The View. Cut 12, please.
I think first, you can't always believe polling.
Thank you.
hey, there was a poll in 1983 that said Ronald Reagan would get clobbered. Mm-hmm. And of course, he won a huge victory. But second, I think part of it is that we now have to make sure the American people, they've read what we have done.
Yeah.
But they haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And this second year is going to be a year of implementing, getting the good things that we did out. Like, let me tell you
Pause it here. I just want to explain something to Chuck Schumer. And I love how the audience at The View, they are truly trained SEALs. They will clap at anything. They will clap at absolutely anything. But I just want to point out, if you've done so many great things, if Joe Biden has done so many great things, people will feel it. You know, it's not a matter of people understanding it or, you know, people having PhDs or Ivy League degrees, being able to distill it or digest it. People will just feel it. And that's the problem, Chucky. Nobody's feeling it. They go to get some eggs. They don't feel like everything's going that well. We'll take your calls when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know, I keep saying happy Valentine's Day, but I am forgetting to wish you a happy Nikki Haley's running for president day. Nikki Haley announced today that she will be throwing her hat in the ring for 2024. So thus far, the GOP's got Trump and Nikki Haley. And you know what's a question for people that I have? Probably not for today, because I know people are on the lines to talk about very, very serious issues, including the chemical leak and the train derailment in Ohio. But one thing I'm curious about is, do you think it's a pro or a con to enter the race this early? Do you think it's helpful? Maybe for someone like Nikki Haley, who really does need to pick up a lot of steam, the earlier you get in, the better. But I'd be curious what people think of this, because I've been mulling it over myself, and I'm not really quite sure. One other thing I wanted to mention, we talked about Baltimore, how this CEO in Baltimore makes over $400,000 a year. And yet, in 23 public schools, none of the children understand basic math. So 23 schools in Baltimore are failing their students, according to a new study, with not one student at the institutions reaching the required level in math. So it's only fair, if I'm going to talk about the kind of incompetence and ridiculousness that's happening in Baltimore, I should also mention that there's an official here in Boston who's under fire as well. And I guess the reason I tie these two things together is because it always blows my mind how much money people are making to deliver zero results, to deliver nothing to the people they're supposedly helping. In this case, I know I'm a couple days late here, but Frida Brasfield, who's a longtime city hall worker and local activist, of course, aren't we all? Aren't we all local activists when it comes down to it? She's being charged with one count each of money laundering and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Now, she's the mayor's director of administration and finance. Someone in charge of finance is being accused of money laundering? I'm shocked. And the position has an annual salary of $130,000. The city confirmed that Brasfield, whose tenure around City Hall goes back to the Menino era, so she's a real hack, has been placed on unpaid leave. The city said that the allegations have nothing to do with anything she did at work. Well, never say never. We'll let the investigation play out, don't you think? 844-500-4242. Let's go to Tom. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, just a quick comment about Mayor Pete and white male construction workers. Let's go back to Robert Reich in the first Obama administration, Secretary of Labor. When Obama had that $800 billion stimulus package, Robert Reich's famous quote, "I don't want to see this going to white male construction workers," okay? And at some point, I'm a union guy. I love the fact that I belong to a very, very good union and retired. Unions have done a lot of great things for blue-collar guys like myself. But at some point, you have to wonder, you know, the elites of the Democratic Party really have a disdain for people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious in these comments. Now, Mayor Pete is in charge of transportation. That includes trains. We've had three derailments, major derailments, within the last couple of days. To me, it's either terrorism or there's something very wrong with the transportation system. But I did want to mention briefly that as far as the Baltimore school system is concerned, Democrats, black liberal Democrats, have run that city for decades. And if this was 1987 on WRKO with the great Gene Burns, and we were talking about the Boston public school systems, how they're failing minority, especially black students, we would be having the same conversation about bureaucrats that pat themselves on the back, yet you have kids that literally can come out of high school with a diploma, that can't balance a checkbook, that grammatically can't speak English very well. And I'm not trying to be condescending here, but it's just pitiful what's going on for these kids, because if we look at our urban school systems run by Democrats, in a generation, the way the Chinese are educating, the Chinese government is educating their young people, they are going to run roughshod over this country within a generation.
Well, and you know, you just mentioned what's happening in Baltimore. Again, 23 schools where none of the children, none of the students can do basic math. It's horrible. And to think that this woman, the CEO, for me, the part of it that drives me crazy is that there's no consequences. You know, I saw today someone had a tweet, and it was a very simple tweet about Pete Buttigieg, but I thought it summed it up pretty well. It said, "What the bleep does Pete Buttigieg have to do to get fired?" And it brings me back to what my grandmother used to say about the public sector. She would say, "You have to kill somebody to get fired, and you got to be on duty. You got to be, it has to be during your shift in order for them to fire you." And the fact is that when you get to this level of these elite academics who think they know better than everybody else, no one gets fired. There's zero accountability. You imagine you're at a job, you're making $400,000 a year, and you're running a company into the ground. How long you think they're going to keep you there for? If it was an actual company that wanted to make money, like let's say Disney, and they were concerned about their bottom line. But nobody cares about that because it's our money. It's monopoly money. They don't know. None of these politicians care. They don't need to deliver. They don't need to give you results. They'll just keep eating from the trough. And meanwhile, like that last caller said, like Tom said, it's doing a tremendous disservice to children in these lower income communities who are already starting out a step behind in a lot of cases. Maybe because they don't have private tutors like they do in the fancy suburbs, or maybe COVID, that really set back a lot of kids. But then you add in the fact that these teachers, and it's not all teachers, I know I have to make that caveat, because if I don't, teachers get upset. But these teachers in Baltimore aren't doing their jobs. And nobody cares. It drives me crazy, because people like Pete Buttigieg, people like Joe Biden, people like this woman, Sonia, whatever her name is, they think they know best. They think because they have a degree, they know what's best for these kids in these lower income communities, or in any of these communities. They think they know best. And what do we have? We have kids who cannot do basic math. And it's a shame in 2023, with all the technology we have, with all the money we send to everybody, we send billions of dollars to other countries, we can't teach our kids basic math. You know that old quote, you could tell a lot about a community by the way they treat their children? These are the most vulnerable people in our community. And what do? We shut down the schools for almost 2 years. We let these kids stay at home without any activity, without any sort of guidance. And we let people who have no business being in charge not only stay in charge, but get rich off of the decline of these children. Get rich off of their failures. It's gross. It's the only way I can describe it. Peggy, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. It's so good to hear your voice. Glad you're back. You really, your last two callers and yourself took a lot of my points away. But I think I talked about this with you before, and I was referring to the MBTA a couple months ago when they were having trouble. It's generation after generation after generation of people that aren't very bright, either whether through nepotism or they run for office and they have a machine behind them and they get elected and they stay for decades and decades. So eventually, you know, something is bound to go wrong somewhere. For example, the train wreck chemical spill in Ohio. And when these dim bulb people that are in charge, and I mean dim bulbs, actually have to do something, They have no idea what to do, hence Pete Buttigieg. And as we were talking about, you were talking about the private sector. The private sector, this would last for about 5 minutes.
Right.
These people would all be gone. They would never have gotten hired in the first place. You look at the layoffs that are happening now that they don't even talk about. Disney, Dell, Zoom, IBM, Google, Amazon. They're laying off 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people immediately. Too bad. See you later. Only one person in the Biden administration has been fired since he started, and that was a couple of days ago, this man who was the architect for the Capitol building, for whatever reason. But, I mean, Pete Buttigieg, the woman who's in charge of energy, these people should have been gone a long time ago.
You know what, Peggy, you just mentioned the private sector versus the public sector, and I know I had said before that this would never last in the private sector, but, you know, the analogy I'm thinking of here is when you have, and I went to school some, you know, in some cases with kids like this, kids who get everything, for example, from their parents, like they're spoiled rotten. They break a cell phone, they lose a cell phone, they get a new cell phone within the day. Computer breaks, they get a new computer within the day. And therefore, they have no respect for anything that they're getting because they know that they'll have it replaced within 2 seconds. They have no respect for the dollar because it's not their dollar. Money becomes almost like this mythical thing that doesn't matter to them. And in a lot of ways, I think that our bureaucrats and our politicians and our power-hungry elitists are operating off the same mindset. They don't care about a bottom line. They don't care about any sort of results. All they care about is keeping that money coming in and flowing and rising up the ladder and climbing that ladder. And they don't, it doesn't matter to them how much money has to be wasted, how high people's salaries are, because like Peggy just said, it's make-believe. It's not real. If you go into the private sector, they care because it's their check. It's their products. And in the same way, if you have a kid who's spoiled rotten and you don't think they care about the stuff you're buying them, you don't think they have respect for the laptop or the computer or whatever it is, what's the first thing you do? You say, all right, you know what? You can buy your own next time. And let's see if you take better care of it. You want to crash the car? Fine. The next car, you can buy it yourself. Let's see if you drive a little bit more carefully. And we have an issue right now with our government. They're reckless. They're reckless. They don't care who they put in charge. They don't care how corrupt you are, how incompetent you are, because they'll just keep cashing the checks. And it's ridiculous. Now, obviously, if we're going to talk about this level of stupidity in government, we should be talking about the Chinese spy balloon, because this has really turned into a saga for the Biden administration. So I just want to give you guys a quick update. Not that you need it. I'm sure a lot of you kept up with this over the weekend. But January 28th, the Chinese spy balloon shows up. The Biden administration begins tracking the aircraft. February 1st, the balloon is spotted by civilians, people who could walk outside and look up at the sky in Montana. And February 4th, we shoot down the balloon, okay? February 10th, the U.S. military downs another unidentified airborne object. February 11th, another unidentified aircraft is shot down. And February 12th, a U.S. F-16 jet shoots down an unidentified object. Now, these are all different places. These objects are being shot down. Now, when we come back, what I want to play is a cut from John Kirby, because even with this kind of chaos and confusion that is engulfing the Biden administration, engulfing, you know, KJP and Lloyd Austin and all these other brilliant people, they still want to try to dunk on Trump. They still want to say, well, it's not as bad as Donald Trump. And like everything else, it's going to backfire. It's not working. We'll talk about that when we return. 844-500-4242. And I should just mention, I took the day off yesterday, so maybe I'm not one to judge. But I got a little look at Joe Biden's schedule yesterday. Here's a jam-packed day in the life of Joe. 9 a.m., the president receives the presidential daily briefing. That's what we call, Matt, the PDB, okay? That's insiders know, PDB. Write that down. Now, 9:30, in-town pool call time. 9:30 a.m. is the in-town pool call time. 1 o'clock, KJP has a press briefing. That was the president's schedule. So he gets the presidential briefing at 9 a.m. And then we're clear for the day. What did Jill tell us at one point? He works 23 hours a day. So what is he doing after 9 a.m.? Once he finishes perusing, and I'm sure he reads this with a fine tooth comb. You know, I'm sure he's going over this just like he did his State of the Union address. He's line editing. He's crossing things out. He's asking questions about each bullet point. But then what is he doing for the other 23 hours? Because according to his wife, Nana, Dr. B, he's working. Seems like a pretty empty schedule to me. 844-500-4242. That reminds me, do you think we're going to get the Valentine's Day story today? One of the worst Joe Biden stories of all time. I'm talking the worst of all time story. And this guy tells a lot of terrible stories. This one is Hall of Fame for Joe Biden. I hope we get one today. I hope we hear from him. I'll remind you of the story when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
But we were able to determine that China has a high-altitude balloon program for intelligence collection that's connected to the People's Liberation Army. It was operating during the previous administration, but they did not detect it. We detected it.
Wow!
And we have been carefully studying
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, John Kirby. I don't know what his title is anymore. Like cleanup crew for Karine Jean-Pierre spokesperson or something. But that is really pathetic that he thinks he's doing a victory lap. We detected it. You really think, Kerbs, that you're in any position to brag right now, bro? You guys are putting out floaters that it might be aliens invading the United States and shooting down things and then not shooting down things. You don't know what you're shooting down, according to Lloyd Austin. And you really think that you should be trying to dunk on the Trump administration? And by the way, as Karl Rove pointed out today on Fox, I can't take credit for this. He said, Kirby thinks he's making fun of Trump, like he's taking a dig at Trump. He's taking a dig at the military. If you have all these balloons floating around and they go undetected and Trump doesn't know about it, that's the military. It's not like Joe Biden showed up and suddenly he's behind the scenes with binoculars finding all these balloons. And I don't even understand the whole thing about when Trump was there. I don't know if I even buy that. There were three undetected balloons they were able to detect after the fact. Huh? Nah, not buying that. By the way, we're going to play you out here before we come back with Toby Leary with a little bit of my favorite story brought to you by the President of the United States. This is a throwback, but I hope we get more of it today. Joe Biden, Valentine's Day.
I'm going to tell the story, Joe. Tell the story. When we first got to the vice president's office, as those of you who are from Washington know, you walk down the steps of the Eisenhower building, you're looking right into the vice president's office. And the windows, I think, are 16 feet high.
Oh, you know what? We're good. I kind of hope he doesn't say it today. You guys don't need a rehash of that. We'll be right back with Toby Leary.